for me as a therapist, I get those mothers that come in and say, you need to teach my daughter self-esteem because she has low self-esteem. You need to talk. And I'm looking at, you know, I mean, the way that she's commanding me to teach, you know, this young lady self-esteem, and the way that her as mom is handling herself. And then I look, you know, in the background of where they're coming from, and I'm going, there is no way in this world. And you know how you know how these kids are these days, right? You're trying to talk about self-esteem. They say, Dr. Stam, come on now. Can you ask my mother? And I'm going, no, child, I can't ask mother. I have to work with you. She says, well, but let me tell you about her, you know. And that's when I came with that, we all have issues. Because as a mother, if you cannot acknowledge and see your own issues, there's no way that we are going to turn around these teenagers' issues and work with them. And you just throw to a therapist and you say, you know what, you fix her. It's like, yes, ma'am, I will fix her by fixing you.
Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. But the Dr. Stam Show will give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stam.
Today, I have a two-time best-selling author for Amazon.com, and her name is Miss Jennifer Pink. And what I'm going to do is, let me describe to you how she describes this show. So I'm going to read what she wrote as a description of this show, which covers everything and anything that we're going to be talking about, because we are going to talk about single mothers today. She says, many single moms are struggling, whether it is spiritually, emotionally, financially, or physically, and a lot of it has to do with their life situation. It has become easy to excuse away all our struggles as single mothers with the fact that we were by ourselves primary in the parenting and life process. But this is ultimately the reason why we should be thriving spiritually, emotionally, financially, and physically. We have to take responsibility for the situations we find ourselves in and then do the work to grow from each thing that we have gone through. The work is not easy or for the faint at heart, and we will certainly challenge every part of our pride, our ego, and self-preservation, but it is the most necessary if we truly want more for our children. Showing our children how to truly thrive in life is the best example and teaching tool that we can ever give them. Good morning and welcome to the show, Miss Pink.
Good morning. Thank you.
You know, what I love about you, and the reason why I came across you, let me just tell my audience, is I was on Facebook. And usually, you know, for some reason, you know, when I started this podcast, I start getting all the information and tweets and messages from people that I really need to talk to. And yours came across because that day you had put up a controversial comment to single mothers saying, you know what, we have to own to our own when we do wrong, especially with their fathers and preventing the fathers to come and visit. And I thought, oh, my God. This is one honest, you know, single mother that I've ever come across. I, you know, I'm in private practice. I do counseling for over 20 years now. And every parent, single parent that has sat in my couch will always say, you know what, I'm not to blame and I don't care what he says. And for the first time, I said, oh, my gosh, she actually says, yes, I am wrong and we are. So, you know what? Off the bat, I love you. Love the fact that you're honest and true. So welcome to the show. I'm excited about the show today.
Thank you so much. I hear that probably at least 2 to 3 times a day. Mainly off of my Facebook posts. Like, people don't even have to hear me speak or read a book or take a course or anything. They're like, oh my gosh, like, you're a breath of fresh air. You just tell the truth. And it's just like, wow. Yes. And I tell the truth that we don't want to talk about.
You know, I mean, I really truly salute you because my heart is with your children. I work with teenagers a lot, so I catch them in that halfway way. Now they're really angry at everything that they have seen happen in their house, and they don't know how to act, and they don't know what to do because of the fight between mom and dad that they have seen, you know, going on in there. So to have a mother that says, listen, I'm going to take responsibility of my own and make sure that I provide for these children and make it, you know, a two-parent home, even if it's not, I mean, it's a breath of fresh air.
Thank you.
So you are a single mom. Let's talk about, you know, your children just for a little bit so you can give them a shout out, because I know they're really proud of you. I'm sure they are.
Most days. They're still kids, so you know how that goes.
Yeah, I know. How many do you have?
I have 3 children. My oldest is 12, my only girl, Jocelyn. And then I have a 9-year-old son, Justin Christopher, and I have a 5-year-old son, Josiah.
Wow, bless your heart, bless your heart. We can go ahead and just talk about who Miss Jennifer Pink is. And I know you have a program that you also do for mentoring, because as we're saying, you have opened your eyes, but there are a lot of parents out there that they need their eyes opened. So tell us a little bit about you and this mentoring program that you have.
So I am known as the Single Mom Sage, and it's because of my very unique mission to support single moms on their journey and moving from surviving to thriving. A lot of times we see surviving as we're broke or we don't have money, or, you know, like we can't buy something. Surviving is a mindset. Like, it is so much bigger than what's in your pocket financially. It is a mindset. And a lot of times as single mothers, we say, I'm the only parent. I've got to do everything. I've got to be 2 people. We put on our supermom capes. And that means that we don't take care of ourselves. We don't take the time to get better ourselves, whether that's emotionally, spiritually, physically, or even financially. Like, we're just always focused on doing for our children. And I have learned through my 12-year journey as a single mom that that doesn't really help my kids, because my kids need me to be whole, and my kids need me to show them something different, and my kids need me to thrive in my life so that they can go, okay, I can thrive in my own. I can overcome things on my own. Because what happens in society is we tell our kids to do better. We tell our kids to do more than we've done. But when we don't show them that that's possible, the likelihood of them doing it becomes slim to none. Because literally, you know, everybody wants to say that they're an individual and they do their own thing, right? But who you are is based upon who you've been taught and educated to be. So what you've experienced in life, what you've seen, what you've been shown plays a big part in who you are. So if I really want my children to be better, I have to do better. And I mean, that's literally the basis of who I am and what I do. And I help single moms get through everything that, you know, they've gone through, whether it's, you know, the baby mama, baby daddy drama, whether it's, you know, I feel like a horrible person because I made this wrong choice because I had a baby with this man, whether it's just I don't have support and I feel like I'm all alone, to whether it's, you know, I can't find a man and I can't find love and you know, the cycle of that, whatever it is, I help them get through it, whether it's one-on-one mentoring, whether it's one of our programs, or whether it's even just, you know, my Facebook post or my Facebook group.
Thank you for that. Okay, here's the thing. As I said, we're going to be real, because this is talk radio that we're doing here, you know. we're going to be real. Okay. You are way too real to be real, if you understand what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? Because then for any mother that's out there and saying, wait a minute, she's just way too mellow and way too understanding.
you know what I'm saying? But I am. I can give it to you straight talk, no chasing, but I understand why you feel the way you feel.
So on behalf of all those bitter single mothers out there, I'm just going to be real with you and say, okay, you have three babies. And from what I read, you also have three baby daddies.
Yes, I do.
And every reason to be the worst and, angry mother out there that says, well, you know what? I got all three of them. Are you telling me that you have three baby daddies that are so understanding, play their part, and that makes you just sound way too like, you know what? I'm going to have to do what I need to do. I mean, talk to me, because then, you know, I mean, that's the question that anybody who's listening now and say, okay, you got three baby daddies and you are saying, let's all get along. Yeah. Okay. How?
Yes, I do adamantly say, let's all get along. I wish we could sing the Marvin Gaye song and we could just be happy. Like, that is what I want. That is the dream. That is the goal.
Yes.
Is that life for me? No. Life today is a lot better than it was in the beginning, to be really honest about it, I have my daughter at 21, and her father was living with his baby mama, and I had no clue.
Oh, boy.
So we had reason to have all kind of drama. We had reason to duke it out, to fight. I had reason to keep him from his daughter, you know, like, oh, you're just a low life. And, you know, he was in the street life. He's a hustler. He doesn't work a job. He's not paying child support. He's never given me child support. His belief is that if she needs something, I should call. And my response to him is always, would you like me to call you three times a day every time she needs to eat? Every time she turns on the lights, would you like me to call you? Like, how far would you like to go with this? So trust and believe. I give it back just like they give it. But at the same time, I'm not going to stand in the way of whatever kind of parent he is. So if he's a part-time parent, if he's a show up and bring the gifts parent, if he wants to get involved and, you know, help raise her a little more today than he did yesterday, I'm going to let him do him. Why? Because that's a lesson that my daughter is going to have to learn no matter what I do. That is what the situation is, and she's got to live through it. And I'd rather be here to support her through it and be here to have conversations with her than wait for her to get grown and then, you know, idolize something that's not real and not her not want to talk to me and not want to work through it. My second child, we got married. I was married to him. I realized that he was not the man for me. He was not a man in my eyes, in a lot of ways. And so we separated and he cleaned out my bank account, literally cleaned them out. I was a stay-at-home mom and he decided, oh, we're not together. Oh, okay. And I was left with $0.00. He cleaned out my personal account. He cleaned out our joint accounts. He cleaned out his personal account. He got real petty, real bitter. He did what you would think that, you know, an angry woman would do. He did it to me. I was devastated. I was homeless after that with these two kids with no job. And I was like, so for real, nobody's going to give me $50? Like, that's what y'all feeling? Because my daughter's father was like, that sounds kind of personal. You should work that out. My son's father was like, yeah, I don't know what to tell you. And I was like, wait, but these are your kids. Like, I didn't do this by myself. But at the end of the day, I couldn't allow what they did or what they didn't do change who I was. And I had to be honest. I chose to have children with these men. I chose to have children with a man who was about the street life. I don't care what nobody tells you. If you are about the street life, if you're about the hustle and bustle, what kind of great parent can you be? If you are, you know, not man enough to separate yourself from your mama and deal with your family, if you are not man enough to stand by your wife's side, what kind of parent can you be? Because you're not going to be man enough to teach your child those things, you know? And then after I was homeless for almost a year, I got a job, I got a place to live, and boom. I got pregnant all over again. Who does that? I was depressed. I was devastated. I was like, this is the end of my life. Somebody come kill me now because it's over. Yeah. And you know, I wanted to have an abortion. And he told me, don't you ever kill my seed. That's horrible. Again, another hustler, another dude in the streets. But he, you know, made me believe that it was different. And he loved, you know, he knew what I had been through. And he would never put me through all the things that they had put me through. And he was such an amazing father to the kids that I knew about, hence knew about, because there was a lot more. And all these things. When my son turned one, he got ghost. And I tell people to this day, he really thinks that this is the Immaculate Conception. And it never, he never had any part in it. Jesus just blessed me with a child out of nowhere. But none of that can change who I am. And none of that can allow me to get to a place where I'm looking at the world through bitter, hurt, angry eyes. Because then how do I teach my children something different? You know, my mother was a single mother. Most of my aunts are single mothers. Most of my cousins are single mothers. I don't want my child to live this life. So how do I give them something different? I have to be different. I can't just tell her, oh, don't have sex and don't have a baby until you get married, because that doesn't even make a guarantee. And if she's never seen that, why would she do that? So I have to be different. I have to continuously show love, even to my children's fathers, who I can give you laundry lists of how they've done me wrong. I still show love. To this day, I'm now married, and my daughter's father communicates with my husband more than he does me. They have conversations at least twice a month about my daughter and, you know, her behavior and, you know, what she needs and this and that. And they have great man-to-man conversations. We couldn't have those conversations because every time I called, he wanted to tell me how it was my fault, how I was doing wrong, how she was just like me, and oh well. He never wanted to hear me out. They can communicate and they can approach her, and all of a sudden now he tells my daughter about respecting me. He talks to my daughter about listening. He talks to my daughter about her behavior. Who are you? Because 12 years ago, this is not who you were. It took me to get married, and it took him to see a difference in me. It took him to get over his feelings about what happened between us. It took him to have man-to-man conversations with another man so that another man could show him the path that his daughter was on and how he needed to step in and fix the path, and I couldn't do it. That's what it took, but it would have never happened if I was bitter, angry, told him he couldn't see his kid, told him, oh, well, you don't pay me, so you can't talk to her or you can't come over here. None of this would have ever happened if I'd have been that woman. So that's why I'm adamant. I can adamantly tell women, you know, I never said I haven't been through it. You know, we could talk about what I've been through, but the difference is my reaction to it. The difference is how I've let it not taint me. The difference becomes that I don't look through the bitter, angry, rose-colored glasses. I look through, okay, you got some issues you need to work through. Well, I'm going to be better, and I'm going to keep moving, and when you're ready, we'll be right here.
I can actually end the show right here, because what it is that we both wanted to accomplish has been accomplished in this 5 minutes that you were just talking. I don't know if you could feel it, but I could hear you. And this is when, if we are at a conference, the whole room stands up and gives you a standing ovation. You hear me?
I hear you.
This is the part that we say, to God be all the glory. And congratulations for you listening to your heart and becoming the woman that you are. Because not only are you a changed mother, but guess what? To be an example to other first, you know, to other single mothers and to your own children, it takes everything out of any human being to be unselfish and to say, you know what? even though all these people are doing all this year, I have to look in the mirror and look at Jennifer and say, who are you? And are you going to be this bitter person that is driven by what people do? Or are you going to react in a different, loving, kind way? And God blesses you with a husband that not only loves you and the children, but embraces their fathers and makes them a part of the family. I can tell you that it was all you. And because you chose to go in that loving part, love is just surrounding you. And I'm telling you, you give me goosebumps right now.
I mean, it is definitely true. You know, one of the pieces of, you know, my story and my journey, well before I even understood who God was, you know, purposed me to be, and I understood that this was the calling on my life, you know, because I don't think that anyone chooses to share their dirty laundry for the benefit of someone else.
Yes.
But well before I got to that stage, you know, I remember when I had my daughter and I found out that he was living with his baby mother, because I found out after I had her. So, you know, that's when it should have blown up and all those things. Yeah. I actually was homeless for a moment. And she is the woman who took me in. And my daughter and I went to live with her and her children.
Wow.
And he lost all his marbles. He was like, you guys are gay. You guys are trying to get me. Like, he swore it was about him.
Wow.
And we were both like, no, we have kids that are siblings. Yeah. They are forever siblings. We are forever connected. She needs help. And I'm woman enough to step in and help her.
Wow.
And to this day, she's one of my great friends. And she's like always, and she's like, girl, you better share our story. You better tell the world how,
wow.
And I, you know, sometimes I get like, is it okay? Like, you know, I'm telling somebody else's journey.
Yes.
And you have to ask sometimes, is that okay? Yes. But, you know, she's like my number one supporter. But it shows the world, because the world tells us that we should be angry. We should fight each other. We should, you know, go through drama. And we both decided, and we didn't even realize the power in that moment of what it was that we were doing. But we both decided, woman to woman, that our children were more important than our feelings, you know, because she has tons of feelings, because she, I mean, here she is, she thought she was in this amazing relationship with the father of her children, and they were gonna, you know, be together forever, and boom, here comes this woman who has a baby. Like, where did you come from? She had every right to be angry.
She did, and
close the door in my face, and, you know, not want to deal with me, even though we dated for 3 years.
Wow.
So for 3 years, he was living two lives. And we, both of us really, I mean, we were heartbroken behind that. Like, it's not to diminish or minimize what he did, but I can't allow what he did to control who I am. Like, I can't, because if he can control who I am by what he's doing, then he's in control of me. So I might as well stay in a relationship with him and let him just do what he want to do, because he has all the control. I control me. I can tell you today, I should have never been in a relationship with that man in the first place. There were tons of red flags that something else was going on that I didn't know nothing about. There were tons of red flags that he was not the man for me. There were tons of red flags that this was just not where I was supposed to be. I chose to ignore all of that, and I chose to lay down with him. I chose to make a baby with him. So now I have to choose to do the best that I can do in this situation, regardless of what he does.
I mean, many of us refuse to say, I saw the signs. I knew exactly that there was something else. Even though I didn't see it, I couldn't put my finger on it, but my stomach, everything told me that something is not right. So you know what? For you, I mean, again, I applaud you for being honest with yourself. And, you know, for the other mother, for, you know, I know she's going to be listening to this podcast too. More power to her. And we also applaud her, because you know why? For the first time, I'm also hearing of a woman that is not putting the blame, you know, I mean, and playing on this blame on the woman, on the other woman, because every time people want to fight the other woman, and I'm saying, no, you cannot fight this other woman here, because she was asked out and dated just like you were, and lied to, just like you were lied to. Why can't you all put the blame on the person that needs to be blamed, who's the man in the middle? And yourselves.
Because if we blame him, then we would have to take responsibility on some level.
See, but you know, but I liked what she did. You know, yeah, you're right. Because I like what she did. She's like, you know what? I was in it. So here's what we do. Because now we both have children. And at the end of the day, both of you, I applaud you. Because now when you acknowledge the children, you are saying to God, God, we know you never make a mistake. Because the mistake was us sleeping there and being with this man. But then, you know, these children coming on this earth is no mistake that they came through us. Because we were chosen to be the mothers that we're going to bring this children, and we are going to take to be responsible and take care of them as you will provide for them. You see?
Right, right. Yeah. And the biggest, you know, the biggest greatness of the whole thing is our daughters see the power in women coming together.
Yes.
And women can work together, and women who should quote unquote be enemies can be a blessing to one another. Our daughters, the next generation, got to see that firsthand.
Yes.
Without us telling them or us shoving it down their throats or anything, they got to see it. So now our daughters, you know, I hope that they never find themselves in that situation. But now when they find themselves in that situation, somewhere in the back of their head, they replay that moment. Oh, well, I remember when my mom, and you know, my daughter calls her other mom, you know, like, wow. That's her other mom, you know, and yes. So they have that visual, and now they can do something different. I haven't taught my daughter to hate women. I haven't taught my daughter to go out in these streets and fight women and fight for your man. I haven't taught her that. I've taught her something completely different. Love yourself enough to get out of it and just keep doing what you got to do.
Yes.
Like that's the legacy I've given my child.
Yes.
Not the opposite, which is what we keep passing down, and then we get mad when the cycle keeps happening.
We are excited indeed to be celebrating our 1-year anniversary here at America Out Loud. And we could not have done it without you. Well, in short order, we've become one of the fastest growing podcast and talk radio networks in the world. For all the latest news, entertainment, your blogging, and now web TV, as we celebrate our 1-year anniversary here, and we'll see you back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Well, I'm not sure why we take our health for granted, but I know that many of us do, include me in that company. Recently, I had a couple of health scares that got my attention real quick. I started a new product called Healthy Cell. I took it for about 3 weeks, and man, I started to feel really good. I found myself sleeping better at night, had more energy in the day, and less stress and anxieties, and just feeling better overall. Well, with those kind of results, I knew I had to do something, so I reached to the company directly with a request to bring Healthy Cell back to America Out Loud, and here it is. Well, typically you'd pay $110 plus shipping and handling. Well, now you get it for just $79.99 for the monthly plan, plus free shipping. That's right, they'll pick up the shipping, and you pay just $79.99. Use the code OUTLOUD on HealthyCell.com, or just click the banner on the front page of AmericaOutLoud.com.
I mean, you are just such encouraging and inspiring lady, because here's the thing too. For me as a therapist, I get those mothers that come in and say, you need to teach my daughter self-esteem because she has low self-esteem. You need to talk. And I'm looking at, you know, I mean, the way that she's commanding me to teach, you know, this young lady self-esteem, and the way that her as mom is handling herself. And then I look, you know, in the background of where they're coming from, and I'm going, there is no way in this world. And you know how you know how these kids are these days, right? You're trying to talk about self-esteem. They say, Dr. Stam, come on now. Can you ask my mother? And I'm going, no, child, I can't ask mother. I have to work with you. She says, well, but let me tell you about her, you know. And that's when I came with that, we all have issues. Because as a mother, if you cannot acknowledge and see your own issues, there's no way that we are going to turn around these teenagers' issues and work with them. And you just throw to a therapist and you say, you know what, you fix her. It's like, yes, ma'am, I will fix her by fixing you.
You know what was so, I'm laughing while you're saying that, because that was me. I was the teenager that was in counseling with my mother, going, and you know, First of all, we're two totally different people.
Yes.
Clearly, as you guys are hearing, I tell all the business. I'll be like, look, this is what's going on. I don't know what to say about that, but this is what's happening. Yeah. And my mother is of the old school train of thought. You know, you don't tell what's going on in this house. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You better tell them everything is gravy. So we went to therapy because we were having some severe issues in our relationship. My mother and I were having fist fights at 13 and 14 years old. And so we went to counseling. You know, she did the right thing in trying to seek help. But what's always interesting is we have two very different stories of what happened in counseling. My mother sees the counselor as saying I was some out of control, crazy teen who, you know, darn near needed to be committed. Mm-hmm. And I hear, what I saw was the counselor saying, okay, mom, you've got to fix some things. Daughter, you've got to fix some things. And we've got to work together to make some things better. To this day, I'm 33 years old, and we still have very different views on what happened. And that plays a big part in who we are today.
Yes,
today,
yes.
I can share that I went to juvenile hall because I was facing attempted murder on my mother because she said I tried to kill her. I can share that, and I have power in that.
Yes.
And I know that, number one, I never tried to kill my mother. Number two, I never got convicted of any crime.
Yes.
And number three, we had some issues that needed to be addressed and worked through and helped. I can stand here today completely unaffected by it. I can share the story with my children. I can talk to my children about the fact that I had extremely low self-esteem, and that is why I have three of you by three different daddies.
Yes.
I didn't know who I was. I was out here looking for myself in all the wrong places.
Yep.
I was out here looking for love, and I thought sex was love. I thought they were the same thing. I can adamantly share that with my children. Do they want to hear it a lot of times? No. Because children look at you like, I don't, like, why are you talking to me? You know, that's just what they do. But they hear it. And they know my story very clearly. And, you know, it doesn't make me not have issues with my daughter. You know, she's still a preteen, and she still thinks she know everything, and everything is her way. And, you know, she got issues, and I see so much of the relationship that I have with my mother and my mother has with my grandmother playing out in between my daughter and I, but I choose to do it differently. I choose to back up and go, okay, so here's what I see. Here's what I maybe can change or do something differently. What can you do differently? How do we make this better? I choose to take responsibility, even with my 12-year-old, because I want her to take, like, I can't ask her to take responsibility for her actions, and I can't ask her to think before she acts if I refuse to. I can't. Like, they're going to look at me like I'm crazy. Like, well, you know, like she tells me all the time, oh, well, you didn't do that. And you know that old saying we used to say, well, do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that don't work. That don't work. Don't nobody do that. Like, that don't work for nobody. So, I mean, it's just literally, and that's why, honestly, I started my company, not because, I mean, I love mothers, and I you know, they are definitely my passion, but it was because I didn't want another generation of girls being exactly who we were. I didn't want it.
And what you've done, more than those words. And again, I applaud you, because then what you have done is you have lovingly taken the experience that you had with mom and turned it around to actually be a blessing for you today. Because if you had not gone through where she did the best that she could with what she was taught, you know, as well, and became the mother, you know, as best as she could, you wouldn't have been a different mother today and saying, you know what, let me change some of those things so that maybe, you know what, we can break the cycle with right. our children now, you know. So we thank her for, you know, the part that she did, and to the best that she could, because now I think you can see that, you know what, with grandmother it was the same thing, that maybe it was, you know what, I'm doing the best that I can, and these children need to listen. And then, you know what, you guys start reacting to it, and because you're not listened to, and you know, nobody understands and just puts blame on children. Unfortunately, I worked with the Department of Juvenile Justice here in Florida. you know. So I was one of the head of the Department of Juvenile Justice in the detention centers, and I could see kids coming in, and I thought, my goodness, why do we keep locking up these kids when we can work with the parents? Because then, you know, sometimes it's a calling for what's going on at home, or what's going on with mom and dad within their hearts and their souls and their lives, and then the children react, and then we get to see them, and it's actually a calling to say, let's get help, and then they are not open for the help, and then we lock up the kids, you see? This is why I loved, you know, bringing you here today, because not only are you helping parents to break the cycle, but I think you're also helping these young ones that are in the cycle to say, you know what, you can react to it differently, because that's the other struggle that we have. We have children that no matter what we say, what we do, their parents are going to be the same way and parent the way that they know how and that they want how. And unfortunately, they pay the bills and you're coming to their house. So you have to react in a different way that says, you know what, I respect you and the way that you want this house run, and I'm not going to change you, so I'll do the best that I can. Then when I get to be grown up and stand on my own, I can do the way that, run things the way that I want to run them. But whilst I'm here, I'm going to do them this way so that, you know what, there's peace in the house. These children also need to hear that. And I'm seeing that, you know what, by working with the mothers, the children get to learn that.
Yeah.
Hopefully. I know. Well, you know, it's ongoing work that we continuously have to talk about. And that's why, you know, now we have podcasts, we have seminars, and you and I will be on seminars. We'll do seminars live and, you know, like online as well. I'm going to invite you to do that. So we're going to do some, you know, webinars together where we can, you know, call on some single mothers. So me and you will talk about that. Let's go back to talk about your organization. What services do you offer and, you know, within the organization? At this point?
We have so many.
I see.
You know, I want to meet every single mother that I can, wherever she is. That's really my goal. So we have our media group, which has our blog, of course. We have our radio network, which is a network full of other full of single mothers who have learned some lessons, who have some wisdom about different topics, and they have radio shows about it, you know. And we have what we call The Real with Sage Single Moms, too. We have a show called Fuller Life, which talks about your wholeness. You know, we have a couple of financial shows coming out. We have a fashion show coming out. So, you know, we hit all those genres. And then we have the magazine, which is called Thrive Magazine, which is all about, it's for us, by us. So it is a magazine for single moms, by single moms. And, you know, every issue, every article, every picture, every quote, every fashion piece is literally picked by a single mom, written by a single mom, who just wants to share her journey, her lessons, her wisdom with others to help them on theirs. That's really what it's about. And then we have mentoring, which we do, you know, one-on-one, or we have classes that we have. We have, you know, a 7-week class called The Fight of Your Life, which is based off my book, My Fight with God. We have the 21-Day Thrive Challenge. We have the Jay Villagers program, which is designed for those who want to go into business or want to go into this business, but don't really know how. You get to kind of work with us behind the scenes and learn the how. Yes. And then we kind of give you some business coaching along with that as well. Mm-hmm. We have group programs that we do from time to time. We have webinars that we host. We have more free stuff than we have paid for stuff. I mean, we just have so much. It's like I always forget stuff.
Wow. But you know what? You're very right, because then all those programs sound like you get to meet the mothers where they are, because every mother is at a different point, and then their situation is described as different. But, you know, what we're talking about today is no matter how different or difficult or hard or impossible that it looks, the choice is up to the mother. on how right. she's going to handle that situation, and the fact that, you know what, how do they allow these children to have contact with their fathers and to have the fathers involved in whatever way that they look, you know, look at it and see it feasible for them to be a part of their family, right?
Right, definitely.
I think that's the challenge, because then every mother wants it to be a certain way. You know, I have a mother that came in and said, listen, my ex, he doesn't even call my son, you know, the son who's 18 years old. He doesn't even call him and figure out, you know, how he's doing or anything. I said, ma'am, are you there 24/7 with your son next to you with his phone to make sure that the father doesn't call? She's like, no. I talked to him. I said, when you talk to him, what does he say? Do you know what she said? She said, my son always says, you know what? He's always calling. He calls way too many times. So I don't even call him. I don't even answer the phone.
That is so a clear snapshot of what I say to single mothers every single day. We have expectations of what he should be doing. You know, we think that he should father this way. We think that he should call this many times or at this time. Or we think he should pay this much. We think he should, you know, spend this much time. What was the key in all that? What we think. We are not them. We don't get to control who they are. We don't want somebody making us live up to their expectations of us, so we can't make them live up to our expectations of them. You know, I tell single moms all the time, there are married, happily married women who will say, I wish my husband would just spend more time with these kids. And they live in the same house, he's paying bills, they're working together, they're raising their family together, and they will still say the exact same thing. It's not always going to be what you think it should be. That doesn't mean it's not what it needs to be. That doesn't mean it's not the best for your children. Just because it doesn't make you happy doesn't mean that he's not doing his best. Like, and we have to get out of the mentality, I'm the mom, so I'm in control. Who gave you this right? Who gave you this power? Like, who donned you the control holder? Like, and you know, I have conversations so many times with women who go, well, if he really wanted to be a father, he would step up and he would do this and he would do that. And I go, I'm not even the father, and I want to let you know, I don't want to deal with you. Like, I don't want to call you. I wouldn't want to try to see my kid, you know. And it's just like, we just don't pay attention. You know, no man should not be in his child's life for any reason.
Yes.
Let me get that clear.
Yes.
No man should not be providing financially for his child. No man should not be providing emotionally for his child. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that women over time have made it their job duty to become the decider and the ruler of how this plays out.
Yes.
And I talk to so many men, you know, and I've worked with the fatherless generation and a couple of other father projects, you know, or family lawyers who focus on father's rights.
Yes.
And the men always come in saying, well, she told me I couldn't do this, and she told me I had to do it this way. And the first thing we say to them is, who is she? What control does she have? You have just as much right, just as much control. You are equal to her in this process. And it's like mind-blowing for men. They're like,
yes.
What?
Yes.
What? Really? Oh, okay. You know, I've dealt with men who really wanted to be a part of their children's lives, and women are making them go to court just to see their kids.
Like, yes.
I tell women all the time, he want to come get these kids? Oh, let me pack a bag. Have a nice day. When you're coming back? Oh, you're not coming back till next week? Okay, no problem. Can you just make sure that they get to school? You know, I'm not that. We do not need a court order for visitation or anything, because I will give you this kid whenever you want it. I need the break. Look, I'm done. Would you like to do your part today? I'm okay with that. You know, women, you know, cry, oh my gosh, he's filing for joint custody. So? Like, what's the problem? What's the big deal? That's his kid. If he wants to take care of him 7 days a week and take him to school and pick him up and have to feed him 10 times because we know kids eat way more than three, let him do it. Let him, maybe you have it so hard because he has no understanding of what it's really like. So let him get an understanding.
Yes.
We get afraid to release our children to their fathers. You release your kids to the school. You release your kids to your family. Why not release your kids to their biological father who helped make them? And I'm not talking about in situations where, you know, he's a danger or different things like that. That's not what we're talking about. But the average woman is not facing those situations. I will give you, he cheated on you. He did you wrong. He, you know, don't care about you. He don't pay the bills like he should. I will give you all of that.
Yeah.
But what that got to do with he want to see his kid? Nothing. Absolutely, positively nothing. You know, and I tell women all the time, if somebody held us to the standard that we hold fathers to, we would probably look real bad.
Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
This is where, again, we talk about resiliency, the ability to be able to get back up, to get along with people that, you know, sometimes they are difficult people to get along. And this is the moment where when parents take a step back, they can teach their children to deal with, you know, some of the behaviors that they see in their fathers. And when they get to see it, and like you said, have that cushion where somebody says, you know what, you still can, you know, love him from a distance, and you get to make that choice. And that's part of that self-esteem that, you know what, when we grow up, you get to see, to say, you know what, you, I can allow into my heart for, you know, for so long. And then when I see the real you, I can back off and tell you that, you know what, it's not working, with confidence, and say, you know what, I love you, but to get in touch with you and to communicate with you on a day-to-day basis, this is not good for me. It's toxic. And a child can say that to their father when they have that loving place of learning. Learning, and a mother who is loving and embracing and saying, you know what, I will teach you how to, you know, stand up for yourself and how to love and be loved by yourself. But then, you know what, I'm not going to be bitter, because all they're learning is this bitterness and this anger that now when they get into the schools, they're fighting. But when they're fighting and I get to get into the school and talk to them, they're not fighting that other kid. They're fighting this father and mother that they have. And I sit down and I say, let's really talk about who you're fighting. And because I'm a therapist and I know how to approach that and talk about that, the children say, wait, how did you get, you know, to talk about that? I said, because you're not fighting this kid. Right. At some point, you started seeing your mom, you started seeing your dad, and you have all these things you wanted to say, and you couldn't say, and all of a sudden, now you just are so angry, and you let this out there. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it and fight it right in here and leave it here, because we got to help you find yourself and to release all these emotions that you have. And I think, you know what, you have addressed this like a champion. Like a champion today. Boy. Yeah, I mean, I've never had an interview like this yet. This is really great. But you know what, and just, you know, for the audience, we have tried to set this up many times and things have been happening and we couldn't get in touch. And something, you know, I always tell people that everything happened, it happens in its own, you know, time, appointed time. Today was an appointed time, because then we had all the stuff that we had prepared, you know, to talk about, and this conversation went exactly as it was supposed to happen. And I know that many, many single parents are going to benefit from your story, from your courage, from, you know, the heart that you have to serve and help them where they are, lovingly to love themselves and love their, you know, children's fathers and their children. I mean, it's just awesome. I know we're going to do another one because we didn't even get to the meat of what you do right now. So, you know, you have books. And I love the title of your books. So I also want to make sure that, you know, we can talk to the people about those books. And before I tell you ask Ms. Jennifer about the books, let me just let the audience know that, you know what, for more information about this amazing, amazing single mother, you know, who was a single mother because now she's happily married, you know, you can go to www.missjenniferpink.com. And also she has sag@missjenniferpink.com. As another website, but I'll have all the websites on America Out Loud, the Dr. Stem Show. You'll have all the links, and all you're going to have to do is click on the link and you'll be connected to Miss Jennifer. So let's talk about my very first one. Of course, you know, I mean, I love both of them, but my fight with God. What prompted that one?
God. I had just had my son, and I had begun the journey of embarking on the woman I am today and doing what I do today. And he whispered in my ear, write a book. Write a book for the women just like you. And I was like, don't nobody want to hear all this drama and this pain and this, don't nobody want to hear it. This is like a Lifetime movie drama. This is not, and for me, I hadn't experience the happy ending, quote unquote, you know. So I was like, how do I write a book when there's no happy ending? And it took me three and a half years to finally write the book, because I was fighting the book, because I was still in the fight. And, you know, I said, okay, well, I'm gonna write what I would want to talk about, and it is nothing like what it probably should be in most people's eyes. It is 8 rounds of my fight with God. You know, I'm gonna let you know now, I get knocked down, I get some black eyes, I get some bruises. Yes. But I get back up, and I have finally received victory, and victory is in my surrender. Victory is not in my way. Victory is in my surrender. And in the book, I talk about, you know, blame versus responsibility and the shame of my sin. And I talk about, you know, Boaz, because, you know, he's that Prince Charming that we're all waiting for, right? Yes. And I talk about, you know, in order to get Boaz, I had to learn some lessons from Ruth. And, you know, I wrote the book, and I wasn't engaged. I wasn't married yet. I didn't feel like I had the happy ending, but I felt like I was in a happy place. I was in a much better place, and I was no longer fighting. You know, now I mean, do I still fight with God? Yes. I think we all fight God every day of our lives, right? Because he always wants us to go left, and for some reason we need to go straight or right. But the fight is different now. It's a fight about living in my purpose, and it's a fight about doing the work that I do. So sometimes we fight about how that should be accomplished. You know, sometimes he's telling me I need to charge a certain amount, and I'm like, but I'm not worthy of that yet. So, you know, our fight is very different now. It is no longer about shame and guilt and feeling less than. It is no longer about feeling like I can't be used by God. You know, one of the things that before I wrote the book, the one thing I knew I was putting in the book and is, you know, Peter denied Jesus 3 times, right? Mm-hmm. But Peter went on to do amazing things for God. And I used to always say to myself, if Peter could, like, deny Jesus, which has to be, like, one of the greatest sins, right? Like, that's got to be huge.
Yeah.
How come me having sex is so much more horrible? Mm. Like, and that's the conversation I used to have with myself, because nobody in church wanted to have it. Yes. Nobody in church Yes. wanted to get real about the fact that me having sex, number one, wasn't the problem. Mm-hmm. And number two, it wasn't that big that it was going to keep me from ever being used by God.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
But I needed to get clear on it, and I needed to have understanding about it, you know, because I always say, you know, for single moms, when we walk into a church with our kids in tow and there's no ring on our finger and there's no man standing by our side, see, I just walked in here with this scarlet letter. Everybody knows my sin. Everybody judging me instantly, right? Mm-hmm. But if I was a liar, if I was a thief, nobody would know.
You're right. You know what? I don't know if you're looking at the time, but like I said, we're going to have a part two of this conversation because there's so much that we wanted to talk about, and I'm looking at my time and going, yeah. So if you've been listening to this conversation, wow, you now know that not only is Miss Jennifer Pink a survivor, she's actually thriving in the experiences that she has learned in her life, because as she said earlier, her SAGE program is about you growing through what you go through. And you can tell with her telling us her stories that she has grown through what she went through. She has lived life from being a struggling single mother to a woman finding her way after divorce. And now she thrives as the single mom Sage. She turned her struggles into opportunities. And today, as you heard her say herself, she's living confidently in her calling. She is the voice of single mothers instilling hope and help into their community. Did I tell you that she was the chief decision maker? For some of you, you know them as the CEOs, the presidents, founder of the Pink Foundation, Sage Mentoring Sage Network, J Sandbox, and the J Kids Boutique. Not only that, she's a speaker. So if you have a conference, if you want somebody who is dynamic and has experience to share with the mothers, then she is a speaker that's available for booking. She's also an author, a mentor, and my favorite, she is a minister. I cannot thank you enough.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Thank you.
For doing this with us today. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for allowing yourself to open up today and share your story. Because I think for most people, for them to even hear the calling that you have and to understand where you are coming from, this story and you being able to be so authentic and transparent is what will get them to open up and say, okay, girl, you can talk to me because you understand what I'm going through, right?
Right.
Yeah. So thank you so much. And you know what? Let's do this again. And for all of you that were listening, this is Dr. Stem, your host. As I always say, be encouraged and encouraging until we meet again next time. If you need to get in touch with me, go to my email, drstem@americaoutloud.com.